Father, as we go to your word this morning, we sense your presence. We understand, Lord God, that you want to do something in our lives, that we didn't just gather here to be encouraged by a song, but that that song would lead us to worship. We didn't come here to just hear this preacher's words, but we come to hear your word that would minister to our hearts and our lives. Lord God, may you accomplish all of that in our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I sit there, this has been a week, and Billy Graham passing away, and I was encouraged because even some that knew how much I cared for him got on Facebook and said that I knew that would bother you, and I'm glad that you're doing okay. And the death of Billy Graham, I knew that day would come. You know that day would come, right? I mean, he was 99 years old. You knew that day was coming, but the day that it came, it was still a piece of me was gone. Especially, I got saved under his ministry. I loved that he spent over 60 years with a spotless ministry in this day and age. That was amazing. And I'm guessing that the Apostle Paul felt the same way, knowing that to die to be with Christ would be terrific, but he understood that he had a job to do here on earth. And I stop and I think maybe that's probably how Billy Graham felt, wanting to see his Jesus, but knowing that there was still some things to do here. And I have to be honest this morning. Some of the things that at first there was all of these tributes, and then there came some negative and saying that one statement came out that it was that Billy Graham was the golden calf of the baby boomers. You talk about things that in a nation right now where we're all struggling to find unity, to make a statement like that to a whole generation of people is dividing. And I have to tell you, I was mad. No, I was ticked. No, maybe even more than that. And I said, God, why would somebody do that? And God says to me, you just make sure your heart stays right. You just make sure you don't get that way towards them for what they said about somebody that you cared about. And so this morning, we're looking at a familiar passage, and I've titled it Everything and Nothing, because by the world standards, this man had everything. But for eternity, because of his decisions, he ended up with nothing. And I'm telling this church, as we look at this passage this morning, be careful that we don't end up with nothing. Be careful that we're not so focused on some other things that we miss what God wants. This morning we're going to look at the rich young ruler, and I want you to understand that when I look at this verse, and I hopefully as you look at this verse, that rich young ruler, every one of those words have something to say there. Because it's this passage is recorded in all the Gospels, and only Matthew records that he was young. So when I see this, I see this rich young man who had done well for himself and by the world standards had everything, and he has an encounter with Jesus and he has some questions. Anybody ever have questions for Jesus? I want you to know something. Jesus doesn't have a problem with you having questions. Do you understand that this morning? That this passage to me just even brings it more to mind. Jesus doesn't mind that we have questions. I think he wants us to come to the scriptures, thinking through the scriptures and digesting his word and processing it and allowing us to just be saturated in his word. And here's the thing, and I think it's funny and I think it fits. I sat in a meeting this week with five or six other pastors, and and Fred appreciate this. He can understand this. We sat there talking, and each one of us are like preaching, like we're like right to each other, and thinking that only ours is right. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? We're like preaching at each other, and it made me realize. You know what I thought of when I was sitting there thinking about what was going on, and each one like pointing his view like it was the only opinion, and everybody knew mine was the only one that was right. But I'm sitting there thinking, you know what I thought of? I thought, how does a congregation listen to us sometimes? With our preaching everything like it's my way or the highway. And I thought, God help us. As leaders, as pastors, to just be sensitive to what God has to say. And Jesus, in this passage, you'll see it's in Mark 10, chapter, starting at verse 17, if you want to start getting there. But you can see Jesus is finishing preaching to all these people about how they need to come to him like little children and be ready to receive from him. And then we pick up the text with this Jewish man running to Jesus with questions. So we'll pick it up, Mark chapter 10. Starting at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell at his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. You know what? If you're from the South, I can picture right here, bless your heart. Bless your heart. You're acting like an idiot, but I love you. And he looks at him, he looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much as this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecution, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Let me break this down. I love this. You have Jesus preaching the kingdom of God to people, and you have this Jewish man listening and sorting out all the things that he's hearing, and he's trying to process it, and he's trying to line it up what he's been taught, and then he comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And you see that this was new to him. This was a legitimate question to him. And Jesus replies, "No one's good except God. Why do you call me good?" Doesn't that seem strange? That the Son of God would say, "No one is good except God. Why do you call me good?" That seems strange to me. But we're going to see here in a minute that Jesus is addressing wrong thinking, not dismissing who he is. Say amen to that. He's not dismissing who he is. And Jesus says, "You know the commandments. You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. No false testimony. Honor your parents." He goes on and he says all these things. And then the guy says, "I've done all these things." Well, he was a young man, so there's a good chance he wasn't an adulterer yet. It's a good chance that he hadn't murdered anybody yet. And he says, "I've done all these things since I was a kid." And this passage, you see here that this young man was searching for something. He's often called the rich young ruler. Like I said, Matthew uses young man. Luke describes him as a ruler or an aristocrat. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all acknowledge that he had a man of money. But he was a man of two things. He was wealthy and he was successful. And he was asking for more life. Say amen to that. He was asking for more. Have you ever left your house feeling funny that you've forgotten something? Have you ever got down the road and you just think, man, I am forgetting something? Well, there's an illustration. This guy, every time that he went on vacation, he would get down the road and sure enough, miles away from home, his wife would say, honey, we got to go back. I think I left the iron on. And this happened like 4 and 5 times. So one time they're on their way home, and I mean on vacation, and of course there again, honey, man, I just can't go any farther. You got to go home. I think I forgot to turn the iron off. Then this man pulls over to the side of the road, and she's wondering what's going on. And he goes to the trunk, and he gets out the iron, and he hands it to her. Have you been there? You know what I'm saying? You look at this and, you know, millions of people are searching for something. Millions of people have this thought like, I know there's more, but I'm forgetting something and I've got to do something. And they can't put their finger on it, on what they're looking for. Can you say amen? We come across people like that every day. You see them, they're like the deer in the headlights sometimes when they run their lives. Maybe for a time or two, maybe you're right there now. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's right where you're feeling. And I love the article. Bono, who is a lead singer for U2, he sings the song. And I didn't know it until I saw it, but I love his response years later. He records a song in 87, and the words go like this. He records this song about universal searching. And some of the words, it says, I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls only to be with you, but I still haven't found what I was looking for. He even ends this song referring to Jesus. He says, you broke the bonds, you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. Oh, my shame, you know I believe it, but I haven't found what I was looking for. And then years later, Bono is in an interview with Focus on the Family, and which is a Christian radio station. And years later, he says, I found what I was looking for, a relationship with Jesus Christ. That all of this time he was looking. And I look at this verse and I see several life lessons. I see a man questioning God about the kingdom of God. God has no problem with that. If you're seeking diligently, I believe you will find what you're looking for. The rich man's attitude is a life lesson towards the things that he has and where his heart was on the things that he has. Then and the life lesson of separating sometimes the godly things from the human things. And then I see the life lesson that there's a reward for faithfulness. There is a reward for faithfulness. Some will receive it, some won't, but there is a reward for faithfulness. And I see some that would say, if I only had more time, I would give more time. If I only had more money, I would give more money. But you know, that's not true. It's really not true. If you won't give a dollar if you have 10, you surely won't give $10 if you have 100. Because the same reason you wouldn't give the dollar is the same reason you wouldn't give the 10, the same reason that you won't come across. And it's a heart issue. If you have not given an hour now, maybe to someone else, more hours isn't going to be what you're needing. A heart change is what you're needing. You look at this scripture and you see that the best time to come to Jesus is when you're young. It's not the only time, but how many that went a little older before they came to Christ, how many mistakes could we have prevented? How many things could we have avoided if we would have listened to the heartbeat of Jesus a little bit earlier? See, we look at this and he came to the right person. He came to Jesus. He came with the right attitude. He's running. He came with the right energy. I mean, he was running and he came with the right attitude. He's kneeling before the Lord. He asked the right questions. How can I be saved? But then we see something that goes on here, and that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the Lord ministers to us each in a separate way, because in all of this that Jesus is saying, in all of his actions, we see his enthusiasm and his hopes and dreams are suddenly shattered, because the very thing that Jesus was asking of him was the very thing that he could not give to him. But before you rush over and bust on the rich guy, what keeps you? What is competing with God in your life? Is it money? Is it a relationship? Is it a habit? Is it pleasure? You know, we want to bust on the rich guy. Because for most of us, we all could use a little more money. And we want to bust on the guy that seems to have it all. But what is it that keeps us? This Jewish man was searching for something. He was asking questions. But when Jesus told him to obey the commandments, that seems a little strange to me, because I know my Bible tells me, and I preach it 1,000 times, that we're saved by grace, not by works. We're not going to get eternal life by just obeying rules and regulations. And then I look at this and I think, because I know the surroundings here, that every Jew knew the Ten Commandments. Every Jew knew the Ten Commandments. He knew that the Ten Commandments were divided on two tablets. One was our relationship with God. One is, you know, our relationship with each other. And we look at these and, you know, but when he got to the part of do not covet, it was the one thing he couldn't do. It made him realize that, as even though he made the statement, I've done this since I was a kid, well, where his heart is right now, he was coveting those things that were more important than God. Coveting means to want more stuff that other people have, or want more stuff that's in front of God. See, there's only room for one God. Can you say amen to that? There's only room for one God. You can't make something else God and expect God not to move you into another direction. You can't have stuff as your God. Nothing wrong with stuff. I like stuff. But it can't be your God. So back to the text for a minute. Jesus is saying, why do you call me good? When we know that he was perfect, we know that he was the Son of God, we know that he's not dismissing his authority, he was getting him to look at this in the right reason, for the right heart, to have a change of heart. See, if you're looking at the messenger, now get this, if you're looking at the messenger of the word more than what the word can do in your heart, you're looking in the wrong place. And Jesus is saying here, if you're looking at the messenger and you're not looking at the word and what the word can do, you know, you're looking at the Son of Man in the right direction as delivering the word of truth, because I am the truth, the way of life, then you're looking at me in the right ways. We have to be careful not to look at the messenger more than the message. And that's what I'm saying. I preempted this with Billy Graham. I love Billy Graham. Nobody, everybody that knows me knows I love Billy Graham. I will one day be in heaven asking and talking to Billy Graham. But I want you to understand something. Billy Graham was the messenger. He's not God. I am thankful for his ministry that was, to me, spotless. But if Billy Graham's faith fell, it wouldn't cause my faith to fall. Do you see where I'm going with that this morning? I love Billy Graham, but my hopes and my faith and my hope is not in Billy Graham, it's in Jesus Christ. And when I stop, now I'm older than a lot of you, so when I stop and I look at this, so many fell because of Jim and Tammy Baker. If you're old enough, you'll understand that. So many people were like in awe when Oral Roberts dared to stand and said, God will have to kill me before I get off this mountain. And so many in the 80s, how could Jimmy Swaggart fall? And their faith was lost. My faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith isn't in the messenger. It's in the message. No pastor, no evangelist, no anybody should take the place of God. No church is your salvation. I love Rosedale, but you will not get saved because of Rosedale. You'll get saved because of Jesus Christ. Do not let any person be put in the spot that belongs to God. This Jew kept all the laws and the rules, so he thought. But when it came down to it, the one thing that God asked him for was the one thing that he wasn't willing to lay down. It's not a coincidence that Jesus looked at him and said, sell all that you have and give to the poor and then follow me. Jesus saw in this man that money was his God and asked him to lay it down. See, here's the thing I'm learning. God won't ask you to lay down your stuff unless your stuff is in his spot. And then whatever it is, he's going to ask you to lay it down. Whether it's your favorite car, your favorite gun, your whatever. Whatever it is, he's going to ask you to lay it down. You will not have to sell all your riches just because you have riches, unless your riches are what is causing you to stumble. Because there is a lot of rich people in the Bible. There's a lot of rich people in the Bible. And there's a lot of rich people today that God's not asking them to sell everything because it's not possessing them. And if you look at this, you don't have to lose your treasures when you give to others. Because the Bible says you're laying up those treasures. You're investing in the kingdom of God. You're investing in other people. You know, you look at this and the Bible tells us that we can't serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. But you can't serve God in money. You can't serve God in habit. You can't serve God in pleasure. God has to be in that spot. Very quickly, let me just say this. There's perils of riches. And when I say perils of riches, money is only one spot. Do you understand that? Money is only one spot. This ain't bust the rich guy. This ain't, you know, a message on, if you have two, give me one. It's not one of those. That's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm telling you that the perils of riches can cause us to stumble, because I don't care if you don't have a nickel in your pocket right now, you're rich. You're rich compared to someone else, compared to how it could be, because it can always be worse, even though you think it can't get any worse. Yes, it can. Riches encourage this false dependence or independence, false independence, because you're depending on your riches. And the reason I think sometimes that the scriptures are so much talking about money being put in the space of God, because if you had all the money you could have, if your heart's not right, you would think you don't need God. And God would have to work upon your heart. Riches shackle people to this earth. Can you say amen to this? This ain't all there is. I'm not trying to build up a storehouse of goodies here, because I know my big reward is in heaven. And that this is a temporary space. Compared to eternity, how much is 70, 80, 90 years, however long that you would live? How long is that compared to eternity? And if we're not careful, our riches tend to make us selfish. Like I said, put whatever it is. Money's one thing. It can be a boat. It can be anything. It can be another person. You love them more than God. If we're humble here on earth, the Bible tells us that it would be great in heaven. Those that were great on earth, the Bible tells us that we're going to get humbled. So if you really want true investment on your riches and on your time and on your talent, invest them in heavenly things that will last for forever. So I'm going to close. Is there something or someone that you have in God's spot? I'm not looking for a show of hands. I'm not looking for a race down the altar to confess your sins. I'm asking you this morning, when I asked that question, did the Lord show you something that's in his spot? And if he did, get it out of there, whatever it is. See, Christianity is not something about coming to this smorgasbord and choosing whatever you like and doing whatever you want like. And a couple weeks ago, I said that if you wanted to choose this feel-good religion, Christianity is not it, because Christianity is about obedience, is about following God, is not about doing your own thing, but doing what the Lord commands us to do. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with stuff, but stuff can't have you. And this ruler had everything. It would be like if money was no object. And I know, I'm not the only one that has those moments where you go, well, if money was no object, what would you do? And you get all these wild ideas about what you could do and what you could buy. But this ruler had everything money could buy. But compared to eternity, he had nothing, because he wasn't willing to give these things up. Christianity is realizing that you're a sinner, realizing that you need a redeemer. It's repenting of those sins that the Lord shows you. It's sacrificing your life in both service and goodness towards the things of God and acknowledging a God that showed you mercy and grace. And I'm just going to close by just a prayer. And that it is. It is between you and God. What, if anything, is in his spot? We used to laugh about people coming into church and they say, that's my spot. That's my pew. Then I tried to get rid of the pews and got chairs. And some of them, I say, hey, if that was your spot, you want an old pew that we're not using anymore? Nobody wanted it. But I'm asking you this morning, what spot in your life is the Lord saying, that's mine? And if you're willing to give it up, sometimes he'll give it back to you and with a blessing, because he just wants to see if you're willing to give it up. If you're not willing to give it up and he's got to start prying some things out of you, it can get a little rough at times. I know you don't want to say amen there, but that'd be a good place to say amen. Father, we're grateful this morning for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord God, we just take a moment and we search our hearts. And we honestly look and see if there's anything that Lord God, there that we're not willing to give up for you. Well, that will be the very thing that you want until we get our hearts right. And I think, Lord God, what I appreciated about the webinar on Friday when Phil Vischer said these things and he couldn't understand why God would take this good ministry that he believed that he was given by God and then take it away for a spell. then later saying that he believes that that ministry was put in God's spot and God wasn't going to have it. That once he relinquished that spot to back to God, that all the things began to fall back into place. And God restored what had been taken. Would you help us do that this morning in our lives, Lord God? And we'll give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.